If you would, turn with me to two places. We're going to look at two verses. Romans 12, chapter 12, verse 3. And Proverbs 18, verse 1. Proverbs chapter 18, verse 1. So again, Romans 12, 3. And Proverbs 18, verse 1. And we'll get to that momentarily as we've been trying to learn how we're all different from each other and the different ways that people see and interact with the world. And last week we talked about those who see the world through more power and control and assertion and aggression. And this week those who are more peacemakers, and those two are opposites of each other. Have you ever been around with people that are opposites of each other? Sometimes they're a married couple. It just kind of plays itself out that way. And when you have a power person and a peace person, it's kind of an interesting dynamic that begins to happen. Maybe you've witnessed this before. And sometimes if you're able to, have you ever been able to read someone's mind? I don't mean like fortune teller type thing, but you just can tell what someone was thinking without them saying it. Many of you wives or mothers know how to do that very well. It's scary sometimes how moms can do that. They're not even looking your way, and they just call it out. But we can kind of see where people are going in their heads and stuff, and you sometimes watch things unfold. And you see the peace and power people kind of struggle with each other, because as the power person begins to assert and try to create stimulation and energy, you see the peace person begin to back off. Have you ever seen someone do that tug-of-war body language-wise, where someone's walking forward, and the person takes a step backward? And then that other person takes another step forward, and then they take another step backward, and there's just kind of this like cat and mouse, like kind of running from each other game. Have you ever seen that before? Yeah, am I the only one? Which one are you? Are you the one that's stepping forward or stepping backward? I'm usually the one that's stepping backward. You know, I need a personal space about 15 feet to feel okay. But the power person tends to think that the peace person is just kind of, you know, what's wrong with this person? Well, they need to get some life in them, get some energy, and get active. They just keep backing down. And it drives a power person crazy, because they don't want you to back down, because they want the stimulation. And so they keep pushing, and then the peace person just keeps running. And finally, the power person thinks, man, they just lack the power and life of the Holy Spirit, and I don't know if maybe they're not filled with the Spirit. I don't know what's going on with them. They need to get that fear cast out of them. And the peace person is trying to go run somewhere into a corner to pray and fast and ask the Lord to cast the demon out of that person, because, I mean, you see that behavior. I mean, only demonic activity would create that intensity and that hatred and that all the stuff that's going over that just makes me feel uncomfortable, and you run from it. You're laughing because you know it's true. Those conflicts happen. And when we're spiritual, when we're Christian, what happens is we point at the other and we accuse of lacking spiritual maturity and health. And we even have biblical points of reference to show and say, see, the Bible says you're supposed to look like this. But we have blind spots. Did you know that? And, you know, when you're on a road, depending on how high speed the road is, there'll be guardrails on either side. And the ones on the right are to prevent you from going over off the road on that side, and the ones on the other side are to prevent you from going over the road on the other side. Did you know that the Word of God and the Spirit has guardrails? Where I'm not supposed to go too far to the extreme on this side, and I'm not supposed to go too far to the extreme on that side. But we tend to like extremes because it's more clear to us. You know, instead of having to be stuck, having to decide, so do I need to go to the left a little bit or to the right a little bit? We just want it to be the same all the way. This is always the way you react to this. But in reality, if you study Scripture, you see these guardrails in a lot of issues in life, where I'm supposed to be peaceful, but I'm also supposed to confront. I'm supposed to back down and be humble at times, but also I'm supposed to charge ahead and deal with issues. And we tend to want to be on one side or the other. Now, through this part of this series, as we're trying to be able to hear from God, and part of that is being able to understand myself, and I'll get to that in a moment, we're not taking a large passage and meticulously going through it, and I'm not giving you 3,000 verses like I usually do in one dose. I'm just grabbing a handful, because I feel like we're almost brushing up a painting, if you will. Because the Bible says that we need to be understanding of one another. We need to be compassionate and patient towards one another. But I think sometimes we have a hard time really seeing what that looks like in life. You know, they almost feel like vague things. Okay, I'm supposed to be patient, but what does that look like? How am I supposed to react to this person? I'm supposed to be understanding, but how am I supposed to be understanding? So we want to flesh that out a little bit, so to speak, because Romans 12:3, we'll begin there. Romans 12:3, and incidentally, this verse is in another chunk of passage that's dealing with the gifts of the Spirit and how we function within the Spirit, and Paul gives this bit of advice here. Romans 12, verse 3, "For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned." We try to understand the leading of the Spirit and how to hear God and know what God's saying. And we focus on one of the guardrails. We focus on what does God's voice sound like, and studying the Scripture to get a good handle on that, and praying and those sort of things, and we focus on that end. And we're afraid to focus on the other guardrail because the other guardrail seems a little bit selfish. The other guardrail is to understand me, because it says that I need to have an appropriate view of myself. Not too high, not too low. I need to understand me. Why do I need to understand me to hear the voice of God? Because most of the ways that God speaks to us, unless you heard him audibly. Has anybody ever heard God audibly? I'm just raising my hand for your sake. I have not yet. Okay. And this has been my experience. Most people have not heard God's audible voice. But how many have heard from God? Okay, so a lot of people have heard from God, but just have not heard his audible voice, which means that it usually comes through the form of thoughts that come to me, or some form of impression, or a sensory feeling type way that I hear from God. And the problem is our bodies also speak to us through our thoughts and our feelings as well. And so how do I know if this impression that I'm getting, or this thought that I'm getting, is actually God and not me? And part of the journey is understanding how God speaks and what God's character is like and what he wants. And the other part of the journey is understanding myself and my tendencies. So, for example, if you're a power type person, which I picked on Cindy last week because she wasn't here, and she listened to the recording on Tuesday, and then she came over and beat me up, and then afterwards, I ran and hid as a more peaceful type person. She's not peaceful. She has no peace in her character whatsoever. And I'm kidding. Yeah, she called out Bonnie, who is our peace type person. But where was I going with that? I don't know. I just kind of threw that out there. But a power type person has the impulse to assert and to confront and to be almost be combative and to deal with issues and to take care of things. And if a power type person is angry, you know it because they'll tell you that they're mad, and they'll tell you why they're mad. They might tell you several times, and you feel the intensity when they tell you, almost so that you think that you better hide somewhere just because of the way they come off. And a power person needs to understand their flesh. And though the Bible says to confront, and we know Matthew 18, if your brother sins against you, go and show him your fault. We know that we're supposed to speak the word of God boldly. But that also fits a power type person's impulse. And so when they get the thoughts and the feelings that says, go and let that person have it, that type of person really needs to step back outside themselves and question, okay, is God really telling me to do that? Because I want to let them have it. And I want to blame it on God, but I also know that I just tend to want to let people have it. And so I need to re-examine this. But if a power type person is hearing God saying, let it go, back off, be gentle, I'm almost certain that most of the time that's God. Okay? If a power person is hearing back down, cool off, and calm down, it's most likely God. However, and this is why we need to understand our flesh, a peace-type person, when there is an issue to confront, they would probably rather let that thing fester forever until it turns into an explosion. Have you ever had a conflict or a problem in your life that you just didn't address and then it became huge? And so a peace-type person will feel all the inclination, and they'll see all the scriptures, blessed are the peacemakers, and all the different comments about making peace in the Bible and being forgiving and gracious and letting things go. And so they will assume that God is telling them through their impulses to do nothing. And if I'm a peace-type person, it's opposite than the power. If I'm a peace-type person, then I need to step back and go, okay, is that really God? Because a lot of times that's what I want. Okay, I got to know my flesh. A lot of times that's what I want. And so I need to really question myself, is this really what God wants me to do, to not say anything? Now, if a peace-type person tells you, or if a peace-type person hears from God, you need to go and you need to tell that person what for. Then that's probably God. Yeah, well, no, God wouldn't do that. Have you read the Old Testament? God lets a lot of people know what for. I mean, God blasts a lot of people, and there's a time for that. And so if you're a peace-type person, and Bonnie, is that true of you? If God says you need to go confront someone, you'll probably find every reason why that's not God. Have you ever done that before? Whatever angle you're coming from, God tells you something, and you're trying to find all the reasons why that wasn't God that you just heard? Okay. We do the same at the opposite end. If our flesh wants it, we try to find all the reasons why it is God that is saying it. And I need to be aware of these tendencies that are happening in me so I think that I can identify flesh, that's flesh. That's okay, that's most likely spirit. That's flesh. And the sad thing is the flesh and the enemy mimic the real thing. So it's not just that flesh just always looks horrific. It's that flesh sometimes looks good and looks like the right thing, but I need to step back and examine it, and I can't examine it if I don't understand me. And have you ever met someone that's just really lacks self-awareness? Have you ever met someone that is a power-type person and they claim that they're very peaceful? Like, you are not peaceful. I don't understand what you're saying, but I don't want to say that because you might attack me, even though you're peaceful. Have you ever met those type of people? Or someone says that they're assertive and aggressive, but you see them backing down all the time? Some people just don't know them, and we need to know what's in our heart. We need to guard our heart, as Scripture says, for from it comes the wellsprings of life. I need to guard this, so I need both guardrails. I need to have a handle on what God's voice is. I need to have a handle on what my flesh is like. So what is a peace-type person like? Now, I struggle to find a peace-type person in the Bible in a big picture. I think Barnabas might have been that. Do you remember Barnabas when he and Paul got in a conflict because Barnabas felt bad for John Mark? John Mark had abandoned them on one of the missionary journeys, and they were going to go on a second one, and John Mark wanted to come along, and Barnabas was like, all right, let's bring him along. And Paul was like, uh-uh. Paul was a little more of the combative type. He was like, no, he messed us up once, and we're not going to have that again. And Barnabas was like, trying to make peace and try to make things right. Or I think of John, the beloved, who would just lean in on Jesus' chest and just had a more gentle demeanor about himself. But I think that part of the reason why it's hard to see them in the Bible is because they don't stir anything up. Okay? We tend to see the characters surface in the Bible that stir things up. Okay, and so I think that's just what happens. And peace-type people are like that. They hide in the shadows. Usually, sometimes you don't even know they're there. Have you ever had that before? You're somewhere and you didn't even know someone was there? And you found out they were? Have you ever? Thankfully, I have people that help me keep attendance so I know who was here. And so when I call and follow up with someone, I don't say, hey, I missed you on Sunday while I was there kind of dynamic. Have you ever had that before? Hey, I missed you while I was there. Have you ever had that before? And it makes me think of the time, it's not completely related, but when I was in college and I went up to introduce myself to someone and I said, hi, my name is Danny. She said, my name is Valerie. And I said, well, that should be easy to remember because that's my sister's name. And she said, yeah, I know you said that last time. So some people just don't stand out, and a peace-type person doesn't stand out because they're not asserting themselves over anything. A peace-type person is trying to find every way they can to avoid conflict. And depending on their maturity and their sense of emotional and spiritual health, they would rather have a relationship than a self. They, instead of asserting them, even their own opinions, these are the type of people that when you say, hey, I want to take you out to a restaurant somewhere, where would you like to go? They would say, well, I don't know, where do you want to go? But I'm taking you out, okay? So I want to, you know, this is for your birthday or whatever. This is for you. Where do you want to go? Well, I'm okay with anywhere. Where do you want to go? And they won't make a choice. Have you ever had that before? It drives me nuts. And here's a quick fix for that. If you know that someone that's a peace-type person, just say, hey, I want to take you out for lunch, and here's three restaurants. Which one would you like to go to? They will reluctantly choose. You know why? Because they know if you're offering three, then you like the three. Okay, so they will go with that, but they just avoid conflict at all costs. They're very even keel. They're very laid back and easygoing. And part of the dilemma is, though it seems like this might not be the case, they're detached from life. They're not lazy, but they're just kind of detached from life. Where a power type person and a perfection type person has very linear focus, and like a laser beam, they have a target. A peace type person's attention is diffuse. They just kind of are off in space sometimes. Have you ever seen someone be really spacey and just kind of wandering, and you're talking to them and you're thinking, you're not thinking about what I'm talking about. Where are you? And that usually happens with a peace type person. They can only listen to you about 60% of the time. The other time, they're kind of off just wandering about other things. It's almost like because they know they have low energy and they're thinking, well, I have a lot of other stuff to do today. I need to kind of think about that. And they kind of start wandering off about 10 years ago. I had this conflict with that person. I don't know if I dealt with that okay. And they're just kind of there in their mind, just out. They have a hard time prioritizing the essential. They just pursue what's in front of them. Whatever's going on now, because they've learned to go with the flow, so whatever is in front of them, that's what they pursue, whether it's important or not. I remember one time, now I'm not like this entirely, but there was one time we were having company over and the house needed cleaned, and you know what part of the house I started cleaning? The closet. Which nobody was going to see. Now, I can explain that in part, because we'll talk about my lens next week when we talk about the perfectionist lens. That was because I couldn't clean the stuff until I had the closet situated so the stuff could go in the right space. But anyway, and Heather's shaking her head at me. Anyway, we're kind of crazy. But last week I asked you to volunteer if you are a power type person, and then I called you out on a inner struggle that happens for a power type person. So I'm going to warn you that I'm going to do that again. So if you don't want called out, then don't raise your hand. And probably won't have any hands raised because peace people are going to avoid that kind of attention and conflict. So I don't know if they'll raise their hands or not. But I'll call out Bonnie anyway since she's back there. I love to pick on her. She's about to get up and leave. But just know that the struggle of each personality type is dependent upon their maturity level and their sense of emotional health. So you might be over your struggle for the most part. So I'm not saying that anybody who raises their hand, you need to talk to them about their deepest, darkest struggles and stuff. But, so now that I said that, let's see. Can I see a hand? Who's a peace-type person? Okay. All right. Good. Now let me explain to you a struggle. And I saw some hands that I'll tell you, no, you're not, and some that I'll tell you that you're no, just kidding. I'm just messing with you. I'm not totally a peace-type person, by the way. The struggle with a peace-type person and the reason why they're laid back, and it looks like a good quality because they're very peaceful. They go with the flow, and they just kind of put up with whatever goes on. And sometimes what's going on when they're not asserting themselves is, why assert myself? Because I'm just going to get outvoted or out-energied anyway. The people around me are too more intense than I am, so why put up with that fight? And the thing that a peace-type person often has going on within themselves is that they don't matter to anybody else. So why try to express my opinion? Why try to assert my agenda and what I want? Because I don't matter to anybody. And they're even, it's almost like an avoidant thing, to avoid the emotional pain wouldn't that be a stinging pain to think that you don't matter to anybody? And to avoid that pain, they just detach from things. And their main emotion is anger, and you wouldn't know it, and they wouldn't know it. Have you ever seen a peace-type person start to get kind of passive-aggressive? Or maybe some, almost like a steam pot, some sarcasm just starts to seep out a little bit? I see that. Michelle's saying that is her. And sometimes it surprises them. Because sometimes it just comes out of nowhere. Because, again, they've been avoiding the conflict for so long and just kind of going with the flow that eventually enough is enough. And they didn't realize that they were setting that aside to fester. And then all of a sudden it explodes. And then they step back going, where did that come from? I'm not like that. Have you ever had that before? Any of my peace-type people? Okay? And so everybody's angry as a power type person. They just don't express it externally. They try to disassociate with it. So if you're a peace type person, here's the challenge. And actually, let's read Proverbs 18:8 with this. And I want you to see why this is important, because I think that the vast majority of relational conflicts are caused from not being able to see how someone else sees. I think the vast majority of church conflicts, though we'll throw Bible at it and I heard from God at it, but the vast majority of church conflicts are coming from not being able to see through someone else's lens. And actually, a peace-type person tends to think they're every other type of personality because they see through everybody else's lens but their own. They're constantly trying to understand how somebody else sees things because, again, that looks like a great quality, but it's because they don't feel like they matter. And this is where it can kind of feel like we're being selfish in a sense, but you matter. Did you know that? You matter to God, and that doesn't mean that you're high and mighty. That doesn't mean you're amazing. It's just God has, everyone in this room is a gift from God, and God intends to use that. Before we get to Proverbs 18:8, I almost forget to mention, I think I mentioned this earlier. If you're a peace-type person, your favorite verse is probably Matthew 5:9, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall see God. You just notice those. But what you probably need to hear and what you probably don't notice is Matthew 18:15. If your brother sins against you, go and tell him his fault. Speak it to them if it bothers you. What you need to hear probably is Psalm 139:14. I praise you, for I am fearfully and wonderfully made. And Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. You need to hear that. For Ephesians 3:12, in him we have boldness and access with confidence through our faith in him. We have boldness, power, assertion. I can assert myself if it's under the direction of the Spirit. You matter to God. And our power type people, sometimes they really know that. But our peace type people, they kind of under know that. And Proverbs 18:1 says this. Whoever isolates himself seeks his own desire. He breaks out against all sound wisdom. Whoever isolates himself seeks his own desire, and he breaks out against all sound wisdom. We can sometimes isolate ourselves even when we're with other people. And I think that there is a tension that God intended between a peace person and a power type person. And here's where it plays out. And there's a struggle that churches have and us specifically have had with this tension. And there are going to be other tensions that we're going to throw your way. Don't you love it when someone says, hey, come to our church, there's going to be tension. It'll be good. You'll like it. And all the power, I mean, we might have a bunch of power people show up if you give that kind of invitation. But the peace type people, we're not going to find them anywhere. But there's a good tension. In fact, the Bible says that we grow, you know, we strengthen each other as iron sharpens iron. When iron is sharpening iron, there's a tension, there's a friction that's created by that. And there is an obvious tension between a power-type person and a peace-type person. And we miss what God intends to say in that because we're avoiding the conflict. You know, I don't want the friction. And I'm telling you, the greatest growth as a person and as a body is when I can live in the tension. It's not easy, and it's not comfortable unless you're a power type person. I love picking on those power type people. And don't worry, we'll pick on me next week because I'm all kinds of weird. But, amen, thank you. But there's a tension between those two that I believe God intended to use to help us be able to hear from him better. Because if I am a peace-type person and I alienate myself from those intense people, and you can say it if you're a peace-type person, you tend to do that. Some of us are sensory seekers and some of us are sensory avoidant. Some of us, we want the intensity and we want the life, and some of us, we just want the peace and quiet. Who's the sensory seeker in here?
Anybody with sensory seekers here? You want stimulation and energy. It's not a bad thing, okay? All right. And who's the sensory avoidant? You just kind of want everybody calm down. I just want things to be calm and sometimes we throw bad words in there. We say calm and rational as if intensity is not rational, but it is. And so those things happen. And what happens is as I begin to hear the Lord speak to me, I'm a peace person. I hear the Lord speak to me that I need to confront, I need to deal with issues, because it's equally as bad to not deal with issues. It's equally bad to just stock that anger up somewhere on a shelf and then let yourself explode at some point, or let yourself have resentment towards other people. It's just as bad as exploding on someone externally on a regular basis. It's just as bad, because you're not bringing health and life. And so a peace-type person will hear those challenging words. This is why I challenge you to read the Bible, Genesis to Revelation, on a regular basis. Because if you do that, you force yourself to read the things that are the opposite guardrail for you. Okay? Instead of just seeing the peace all the time, you can see the confrontation that is needed. And when I begin to hear that, and the Holy Spirit begins to tug at me to step a little closer to the other side of the road towards confrontation, a peace-type person will tend to draw the line sooner than they should. And the only thing that challenges that is for a power-type person to be in their life. For them to see the intensity and the energy and the stimulation and the ability to confront issues visible, so they can visibly see, look, they're way over there. I'm not even close to where they are. Now, that doesn't mean I need to go where they are. But a power person will do the same thing. They'll start to realize, okay, I need to be gentle and kind. If you ever heard a power person try to work that through in their mind, they usually say it with a sense of annoyance. Okay, I need to be gentle, I guess, and kind, and okay, I need to calm down a little bit, I guess. Why are you laughing, Cindy? and so we push ourselves some, but a power type person tends to draw the line a little too early. And they don't go far enough into the patient thing. And the thing that calls us on the road, instead of going over that guardrail one way or the other, is the visible tension between me and that person. But people run from it. You see, I like that tension. I'm not a power type, lens type person, but I like that tension as far as intellectually. I love stimulating conversation where we can talk about something that I don't see eye to eye with you, and you can say, well, you know, I think that you're wrong because of this, and I can say, I think you're wrong because of this, and I know I'm not going to make you cry if I do that, and they're not going to run or try to shut down the conversation. You know, we can sit in that tension because there is growth in that tension. One of my closest friends is a power type person, and he has no sensitivity to my feelings at all, and he'll just run me over. And sometimes I'm kind of like a deer in headlights, like, I don't know what to do with it. Are any of you like me, that if it gets too intense, your mind just goes away from you? You just, I don't even know how to respond. I know you're wrong, but I don't know how you're wrong, because my mind just went blank all of a sudden. Have you ever had that before? Okay, but we need to go into that tension. We need to be there, because, yeah, that's hard. It is hard. But the Bible says that we learn through suffering, and it's not all persecution. Some of it is just the friction in our relationships, but we, like that Proverbs 18:1 verse, and we try to dumb ourselves down by isolating ourselves from the people that are too intense, or by isolating ourselves from the people that are too calm. And what I have seen since I've been here in my nearing 3 years of being at Bethel is that we are lopsided when it comes to personality. We might have a couple of different types, and we'll work through them, and I'll bring some other ones up as we get along that I see a complete absence of, almost. And I believe that there's a reason for that, and it has been unintended, but it happened. And that is that we have a few types that are sensory seekers, that not... Power is not the only one that's a sensory seeker. We have a few types that are sensory seeker. And then we have some that are sensory avoidant. We are very lopsided towards sensory avoidant. That doesn't mean that we don't have energy or excitement, that we're not passionate. Don't confuse calmness with lacking of passion. So if you are a sensory seeker type, don't confuse that for not being passionate. But we are lopsided as a church because we don't have the stimulating makers. And I can see it in one lens I can probably say we have maybe two of these, maybe three that we'll get to. The other is the power lens. What tends to happen with them is we do have some among us, but they keep it restrained for you. And I'm not talking about sin or ungodly behavior. I'm just saying who they actually are. They restrain it because they can tell by the... have you ever walked in a room and you could just feel what the emotional environment is? Okay, whether it's good or... Have you ever felt the intensity of a room? You know that saying, and I could cut it with a knife kind of thing. Okay, a power type person can feel that you don't want their intensity. And we talk that way too, you know. Calm down, settle down, you know, that's not how we deal with that, let's just talk rationally. And we try to make peace, but we're actually also trying to stop the stimulation and stop the intensity and bring it down. And a power type person senses that, and many of them just left. Okay, I don't think I've seen many of them since I've been here leave. But some of them, I'm pretty sure over the years as Bethel declined, left because the sensory avoidant people won. The mood and atmosphere is sensory avoidant. And we do that thinking that we're being led by the Spirit. Eliminating intensity, we think, is coming from the Spirit because we hear the verses of the one side of the guardrail. Peace. And unity and those sort of things, and they're all true, and we need all those things, but we're lopsided. And the ones that stayed, again, are just restraining themselves. And when they leave, it's like they've been liberated. Okay, now I can be myself. Whew. And we almost talk as if it's God's way to always have to be serious and serene and calm and those sort of things. And did you know God's playful?
Yes, He is.
And though He is the Prince of Peace, He also is the Lord God Almighty. He displays Himself in power and might and intensity and aggression, and He asserts Himself. And that is the picture of God. We reflect the image of God if we work together. Instead of shooing away those who, and we think we're doing it the Spirit, but it's really for us. I don't feel comfortable with that intensity, so calm down, back off. It's not the Spirit, it's flesh. It could sound like Spirit because blessed are the peacemakers, but really it's flesh. It's just, I'm doing it for me. If I'm honest with myself, I'm doing it for me. I just want you to calm down. We do that with children sometimes. You know, some people have a hard time with kids because kids, no matter what kind of personality they have, they just almost always bring intensity, don't they? You're just going to run around like they're crazy and like they rule the place. And I know that's not true with you guys. All your kids were very well mild-mannered and behaved and stuff. And those who are sensory avoidant, it makes your neck all tight, doesn't it? It makes you just cringe, and you just kind of want to either just run somewhere or yell at them because you just can't stand the activity. And we become lopsided. And the problem is we are not reflecting or unable to fully reflect God's power to the world and God's intensity to the world because we're calming it down all the time. And we need calmness and we need peace, but we need the intensity also. And we're lacking the people who stir things up, like I said last week. We need pot stirrers. Do you know that? We need, and we sometimes don't want it because, no, we're all getting along right now. Don't bring the pot stirrers in. Everything's fine and we're getting along. That, a lot of time, is what's going to bring the growth numerically. The people that are going to bring people in with them are usually the pot stirrers, the ones that are external, the ones that are aggressive and assert themselves. And then us peaceful type people will help show them how it's done when they get in. I'm just kidding. But there is some truth to that. Because I need to know this. And a peaceful type person will never be as intense as a power type person. Just won't be. And a power type person will never be as peaceful as a peace person is. Never. Because we all have different gifts. And God intends for me to not be self-sufficient. God intends for me, in order for me to get the full picture of God, to rely on somebody else to be more intense than me. And God depends on me to be more peaceful than somebody else is. Because together we reflect God's image.
And I want all of God's glory and power and peace and all of that stuff. And if God shows up and stimulates us and shakes us out of the dust and some rigid in our ways type thing, then bring it. You know what? We can rely on all the peacemakers to help us make peace when they come in and stir the pot. Okay? I'm praying that some pot stirrers come in, and some of you are thinking, I'm going to pray against it. I'm going to fast and pray against it. It's not going to happen. And you peace people think that you're not the controlling type, but you are. You try to control the environment as much as you can, and sometimes it works. We need everybody. Everybody. Let's not isolate ourselves and avoid the tension and stay away from specific type of people. But let's embrace everyone. I'm telling you, if you make friends with your opposites, this is why it saddens me, those online dating services, because usually they try to take two people that are pretty much exactly alike to match them together to avoid conflict. But I can tell you, me and Heather are opposites, and there was a tension in that, okay? You know, she threw some things at me the other day, and I ducked, and I'm just kidding. And I was just really just calm and rational about it. But there is a tension there that has resulted in growth. I am so much more flexible because I'm married to someone who is a fly-by-the-seat-of-her-pants type person. And she is so much more disciplined, though she might not want to give herself credit, because she's married to someone who tends to batten down the hatch with everything. And we grow, iron sharpens iron. Don't you want to grow? Don't you want to be able to hear from God? And part of it is to be able to step outside myself and say, you know what, that's not all God. Some of that is me mixed in there, and I need to get that out of there. Will you stand with me? Worship team, will you come and prepare to lead us? If God, we'll have a competition. We'll see if God answers my prayer or who answers the prayers of the peace people that are praying to keep the stimulation out. But if my prayer works and God brings in the power type, stimulating type people, sensory seeking type people, we have conflicts ahead of us. We have challenges and we have obstacles ahead of us. And we have some things that are going to probably look ugly. We can't heal the world if we don't go to where the brokenness is. And we can't heal the world if we don't have the power and the intensity of God to be assertive enough to go into the dark places and pursue it. You see, some people are fearless. I'm not fearless. I'm not. Now, I'll go into some troubling places, but I'm not. Some of you, come on, raise your hand. Some of you are just pretty much fearless. You know, don't mess with you because you'll come right back at it. We need that. We need that. Though it drives some of us crazy and it makes some of us, you know, just want to try to find a happy place somewhere. We need that intensity. And those of you who are intense, you need the peace of God that comes through other people. We are a gift to each other. So here's the question for you as you prepare to come. You can begin the play. If you feel the Lord prompting your heart that maybe, just maybe, you've been assuming that you have this voice of God figured out, but you're beginning to recognize, you know what, I see some of me in there. I've been calling that God, but that's actually me. And I need to call it out. You know, the Bible says that if we confess our sins, then we are forgiven. That's calling it out. I have to be able to say, you know, this is what it actually is before I can begin to be transformed and changed and come out of that. So if you need to just come and humbly say, God, help me, because I'm recognizing that I'm not actually getting this right. Or maybe you're an intense type person, a power type person, and you need God to help you, one, not eliminate your intensity, but to learn how to do it in a Christ-honoring way. Or maybe you're the peace type person, and you know that that hits you. When I said that a peace type person feels like they don't matter, you need to hear from God and you need to let Him wrap His loving arms around you and show you that you matter just as much as the people that are seen invisible. You matter. And you need God to help you, to give you the power to become more assertive than you've been, because it's been out of fear and comfort and not out of the leading of the Spirit. Or maybe you're just saying, you know what, I think I'm a part of the mess. I think I'm a part of what's robbed us of power. I think I'm a part of what's robbed us of the opportunity of tension that brings growth. And I want to say, Lord, whatever it is, if you want to bring tension in my life, bring it.
If you want to bring intensity, bring it. If you want to bring calmness, bring it. Whatever it is, Lord, I want it, and help me to be ready for it. So if you need to come, just come and seek Him and let Him do a work in you today.
For by the grace given to me, I say to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly than he ought to think, but to think with sober judgment, each according to the measure of faith that God has assigned. And may it be that you see yourself with God's eyes. Not through the eyes of your opposite, not to the eyes of the person that's identical to you, but see yourself the way God sees you. Because I would hate for us to lose gifts because we thought something was fleshly that wasn't. And I would hate for us to cling to something that was fleshly because we couldn't see it. May God help us to see better and begin to function. I'm looking forward to the day when we start looking into how to operate in the spiritual gifts and start asking God to stir that up in us and getting filled with His Spirit and those sort of things. But I challenge you throughout this week, if you're sensory avoidant and you come across someone who's intense, don't assume they're angry and don't assume that they're ungodly, and start to listen. Start to listen to God above your impulse. And if you're someone who is intense and you come across someone who's backing down, don't assume that they don't have a strong heart or that they don't have strength within them. But hear what God is showing you through them, because God wants to show us Him. Amen? And I tell you what, Cindy is a good bud of mine. And I know that part of it is because she loves it when I come back with her. And we kind of, we actually don't fight. We actually just, we end up laughing at each other because we love that. And so if you have an intense person, just meet them with intensity. Just meet them with intensity. And if you find someone that needs peace, just, like I said earlier, God is a loving Father who is able to know what we need at the time that we need it. Be just as sensitive to Him to be able to see when that person needs energy and when that person needs peace, and allow God to flow through you in that. I'm telling you, it's a great thing when you're able to let the Holy Spirit flow through you. So do that. And next week, I invite you to come back as we're going to look through the perfectionist lens. And you don't want to miss it, because I'm going to pick on myself and tell you all kinds of weird things about me. So bring your friends, bring your family, because we're going to get weird in a moment. And only the perfectionist people will think otherwise. You're going to bring a notebook. Okay. But I love you guys. God bless you. Stay as long as you like at the altar. Again, if you're new, there's a room in the back that has groceries and some refreshments and coffee. Hang out for a few minutes and I'll come find you. I have a gift for you. But God bless you. See you next week.